Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ask a PI, and you're listening to Rusty. I'm Rusty, and David's on the line. I'm going to get ready to unmute him so he can pipe in. But, you know, it's Monday night, and what a great show we have right before Valentine's Day. And, David, you know how hard it's going to be for me to keep my lips sealed on this particular subject, but it's a great subject. It's very important, especially for those of us who are new to the dating scene after a bazillion years. And for me, it was 17 years out in marriage land. But we're talking about love and social media, and I am a social media guru. You could find me on almost anything because of what I do between my books and my radio shows and, you know, it just trying to connect with people all over the world, you're going to find me everywhere. I think I'm actually on an eraser in Japan. Not kidding, actually. Just found that out. But, you know, for those of us who are incredibly busy and don't really get out too much, I'm not a bar fly, I'm not a bar scene kind of girl. So, you know, the social media and dating sites, that's a go-to, you think. But then you get burnt, and that's what I think we're going to talk about, right, Dave?
Yeah, we are. And again, welcome to the show, everybody. And again tonight, we seem to have some technical problems, but I will muddle through this like usual. Look, Rusty, you're going to have to keep me straight because I don't have a clock, so I don't know. I won't know the time or anything other than what's on the computer, my computer.
That's the only reason why I'm on this show is to keep you straight. So.
Yeah, I love it. And anyway, again, it's snowing tonight. I mean, we did a show last week. It was snowing. Tonight it's snowing. Seems to be the norm. But that's all right. We're dry. We're inside. And we're warm. And that's all that counts. And we got a good show tonight. And like you said, it's just in time for Valentine's Day. It couldn't be more appropriate. Love and social media. Web sends lovers flocking to private eyes to find out the truth. And background checks for deal-breaking secrets and habit surge in recent years. And that's the truth. Private detectives are increasingly helping lovers solve the old-age question, is my partner marriage material? You know, and I got a lot of stories about this, but we'll get into those as we go along. Investigating across the nation.
I want to intervene and say that it's so funny now that I'm dating and now that we're doing this and I have you as my mentor, and I'll say, are you okay with a background check? They disappear. It's so funny how they disappear when you just say the simple words, are you okay with a background check? You never hear from them again.
Well,
so that's,
you know,
my introduction on personal experience, and I'm going to mute myself so you can continue.
Well, there's a reason for it. We're going to get into that, too, because, you know, investigators all around the nation are saying that business has boomed in recent years from clients who want their sweethearts investigated for potentially deal-breaking habits and secrets. And that is so true. It's, you know, and these clients that call up and ask, you know, can we investigate their significant other for whatever reason? Can we find out anything about them? I mean, we get calls all the time about that. And if we do that type of investigating, and I always say, yeah, it all depends on what you want to know. And because like in any other investigation, you know, it doing backgrounds, that's my forte. That's what I do. You know, and it's worth it to them to spend a little in advance to figure out whether they're hooked up with a loser or a longtime candidate. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many of these I do, 99% of them show that they are the losers. They're going to be ending up with a loser. You know, and I don't care because it's just the way, you know, it is. The trend is partially driven, investigators say this, by the legions of examples online daters embellishing their profiles. You know, we see people embellishing everything today. They're saying things that they're not. They're scammers. And they're using these date sites to lure people into false romances with the intent of stealing from them. And, you know, and when you say stealing from them, you know, that they can be stealing anything. I mean, you know, money, identity. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they can gain from this. And investigators also say that the uptick reflects a world in which a person can divide the outline of another's life by a simple Google search. The internet, they say, is like a getaway drug to professional snooping. Now, anybody can go on Google and you can look up anything you want. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, you know, the people search everything you can do. But to get right down to it, you know, you're going to get just the basics if you do a Google search on anybody. If you really want to know what's going on with an individual, you want to hire a professional investigator who's going to tell you exactly what that individual is about. And we don't embellish anything. We tell it just like it is. And, you know, I always ask the client, you know, what is your budget? What do you want to spend? Again, you know, I go back to PI 101, you know, the first question, you know, what's your motive? And after the motive, you know, what's your intent? What are you looking to find? And what's your budget? Because the budget makes the deal. It really does. When what they are getting is just enough information from Google. So our firm, we feel that a trickle of calls from just a few background checks a few years ago on internet dating to now we have so many requests annually, it's just unbelievable. And it's because people, they have a lot of assets to protect, and they have a lot to lose if anything goes wrong. And we attribute this growth to social media, where relationships, horror stories can take root and spread rapidly. And there are horror stories, too. In a manner of speaking, it's a new prenuptial. And that's why when you ask somebody, you know, instead of saying, hey, will you agree to a prenuptial, you know, signed agreement, well, we're getting a prenuptial investigation. Except the party being investigated most times don't have to sign off or agree to be under surveillance because most times they don't even know they're going to be. I mean, you come right out and ask, Rusty, you know, Do you have any qualms about having a background done? And you say that, all of a sudden they disappear. Well, a lot of clients don't even ask. They just ask us if we will do a background on them. And the annual revenues from investigative services has just gone up significantly so much because of this. They've doubled, according to the Census Bureau. And most one-man shows, when I say one-man investigative shows, that's where you have just one individual, you know, doing the investigations for their agency. They can easily make, over $100,000 a year just doing this type of investigations. And I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it is a lot of money, and there's a lot of these cases because of these horror stories that happen. In many cases, investigators find little more than just old traffic tickets, if they find anything at all. But that hasn't been my experience. We've unearthed and disclosed all kinds of debt, criminal convictions, hidden addictions, and infidelity. That's just to name a few. And, you know, that's the same around the entire country with other investigators and investigative firms. One client, a widow who in her late 50s, hired us to check out an old boyfriend whom she just recently reconnected with. The ex-boyfriend had told her his wife had died, and they reconnected on Facebook, and they asked her what she was doing. And unfortunately, this person, her husband, had passed away within a year or so, or a little over a year. And she went on a dating site, and I'm not going to mention the dating site, and she put in a profile, and somebody answered her profile, and he was, I say locally, and when I say locally, that's within a 100-mile radius of where you live. And he claimed that he was divorced. He did tell her that he had children, claimed that he had all kinds of property, but that he lost the property in the divorce settlement, and, and other various things. Well, this client made that person, show her the divorce decree, which he did. And the divorce decree, of course, is just a one-page decree stating that you're divorced, when you got divorced, and where you got divorced, what county, and everything. And so at first she was okay with that. But then, as they got talking and got closer and closer together and things started to evolve, things just didn't add up in her head as to what he was saying to her. And so she called me and she said, "Can you do a background on this guy?" And so I did a background, and of course I said, my usual question, "What's your budget?" And she gave me a budget, and so I worked within her parameters. And he didn't have a criminal record. He didn't have any of that stuff. He had a bankruptcy, which a lot of people do have bankruptcies, especially today. He had a foreclosure, which, again, a lot of people do have foreclosures because of the economy. And he did have some property, but all the property, as I stated, was foreclosed on and was taken over by the bank because of what happened in the divorce. And so I relayed that information to her and said, "Yeah, he did have property at one time, but he doesn't have it anymore. He now owns a mobile home, and that's what he lives in." and in a mobile home park, which, don't get me wrong, a lot of people live in mobile homes for various reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, his claim of having these extravagant residences in at least two states, we couldn't find any evidence of that. We found a residence that he did own in Florida. It wasn't that extravagant. It was a double-wide mobile home. But again, it was taken over by the banks on a foreclosure. And it was in a nice area, but it wasn't near the ocean or the water or anything. And it was just a common neighborhood and a common, you know, double-wide mobile home. Nothing like he stated to her that he did have. And so more questions came out, and for a while things calmed down. She asked him questions about, you know, his life and his children and stuff. And then things just started heating up, and she called me and she asked me, well, can you look a little deeper and can you get, you know, the actual transcript of his divorce? And I says, and I told her point blank, I says, why do you want to have that? And I says, you know, what is that? What is the purpose of that? And then what is that going to solve for you? And she just wanted to have it. And I says, well, that's not a good enough reason. And if you want to have it, why don't you just go to the court or, the, you know, in the county and request it yourself? Because you can do that. You might not be able to take it with you, but you can look at the file. Because when we look at files, you know, we know what we can take and what we can't take. And there are some financial information in those files. And you can make notes on that, but you're not going to get copies of that because it isn't public information. But once the clerk gives you the file, I mean, anything in that file that you see, you can write down, and that's exactly what we do. So I told her to do that. And then the next thing that came up was his children. And, you know, it was one thing after another with this client. And so I finally told her, I said, you know, if all these things are bothering you, you know, then what is the sense and what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? If it bothers you that much, and obviously you don't have the trust in this individual, then maybe you shouldn't be in this relationship. And, you know, when you start letting your significant other's children get in the way of your relationship, you got a big problem. Because first off, you know, your relationship first, you know, has to evolve around that individual who you think you might want to have as a partner. You know, everything else comes after. You know, if the children are a problem, then you work that problem out between the two of you. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. They just put everything, you know, in one pot, and they stir the pot, and they make problems for themselves. And that's what this person was doing. And I just point blank told her, you know, I think you ought to sever this relationship because I don't see it going anywhere. Because, again, you don't have that trust. And without that trust, there's no relationship. But anyway, that's one story that I have about doing a background, and I did that. She was an acquaintance, not really a friend. She was an acquaintance more than a friend, and I did it because I knew her ex-husband, and I knew that he'd want to make sure that she was doing the right thing. But anyway, you know, I tell the story of the Superior Court judge from California who called me up, and you know, he asked me to do a check on an individual that his daughter met on the internet, and that they lived in California, and the person that she met was from Hampton. And he told this girl all kinds of wonderful things that he was, did, and that he had. And when we actually did the investigation, everything that this guy said was false. He said he wasn't married, where in fact he was. He said he didn't have any children, when in fact he did. And he said he worked as a professional, when in fact he did not work as a professional. And we were able to show that, and we were able to show that he was in just lying about everything. You talk about embellishing. He embellished everything. As a matter of fact, he even sent a photograph of himself to the judge's daughter. And when we grabbed the photograph of the individual, he didn't look anything like the photograph that he had sent her. And that really was disturbing. To make a long story very short, because of that investigation, she was supposed to come out here and meet with this individual, and that really concerned the judge, and it would me too as a parent. And because of what we found, we were able to convince her that it wouldn't be in her best interest to come out here at all to meet with this individual, because he wasn't an upstanding individual, and that he was falsifying information about actually who he was, what he did, how he did it, and where he was doing it. So, and just the fact that he told her he wasn't married and he actually was really shocked the hell out of this woman, this girl. And she wasn't a girl. She's an mate. She was a young adult. I mean, she was in her late 20s. And we were able to stop her from coming out here, because we gave her good information, factual information, on what this individual was actually all about. But, you know, if that judge didn't call, this girl would have come out here, would have somehow, whether she would have flown out here and met this individual who she didn't know, and God only knows what would have happened. So... It's very important that, you know, if you're going to get involved in a relationship and you're meeting somebody on a dating site, that, you know, you do your due diligence and you find out what you can about these people, because they're not necessarily who you think they are. Just because somebody tells you something.
Well, I have to interject, because I know that you've never participated in one of these dating sites, and I have. And I will tell you that they are sly. They're sly like foxes. You know, they'll have a certain profile name, and then when they introduce themselves, it's a different name. And then when you meet them in person, it's even a different name. So they have various levels of animosity. Is that the right word? To their victim. And the Craigslist killer, I mean, that's the most famous and interesting of creature, because that's exactly what you're trying to help us avoid, is somebody who's so sly that they bring you back into a hotel room. And we're trusting creatures in general. I think humans as a species, we genuinely want to trust, and we genuinely want to love, and we genuinely want to be compassionate. There lies the problem when you have individuals who are purposely seeking to hurt other people in this platform, which is a beautiful platform. And I mean, it's great that we get to talk to people all over the world in our time, but there also allows a lot of people with ill intent to come out of the closet, so to speak, and hurt people. So what else could you offer individuals as kind of a protection or a thing to think about when engaging online? Because people are going to do it. That's just bottom line. They're going to do what they're going to do. Go ahead.
No, I think that people, you know, should be aware of who they're going to be meeting with, especially when you fill out these profiles online. And, you know, I think you ought to think twice before you meet with anybody. You know, I know that a big turnoff for a lot of the clients, you know, because some clients, you know, have their romantic partners vetted by us, you know, and we come up with all this, you know, criminal convictions and civil judgment searches, and everything's done by computer for us, mostly. We do some surveillance on it, but not much. And just the stuff that we can do in the office can cost a client between $200 and $500, you know, and it just depends on who you're using as an investigator and what their fees are. Whereas, you know, a base price for a background investigation that includes both database searches and physical surveillance, you know, that can run you anywhere between $1,000 and $1,500. And when you tell that to a client, a lot of clients, you know, don't have that type of money to spend. They don't have it readily available to themselves. And only thing I'm going to say about that is, you know, what is your safety and your life worth? And, you know, and what is a peace of mind worth? And that's what you got to remember. You know, you got to make sure that you're going to maintain your safety. And, you know, and you're not going to get involved with something or someone, you know, who might endanger you. Or, I mean, like I said, there's plenty of horror stories. I mean, there's one that a woman was chatting online, and they're basically online dating because they didn't meet each other. But this, in his profile, this boyfriend of hers never told her or never told the dating agency that he had a criminal record. And when the criminal record search was conducted, it showed that he had served time in prison for murder. Now, that's something he never disclosed. Now, what do you think? You find somebody, you think that, you know, they're interesting, and you're talking to them and everything, and they sound so nice, and they get you to even make phone calls to them, and you know how, in today's age, you know, we don't meet. Like you said, you don't go to bars, and you don't have that opportunity to go out to eat with an individual and sit across a table and look at somebody's eyes, and, you know, and you can tell if somebody is lying to you when you're looking at their eyes because of their body language. I was real good at reading people's body language, especially when I was in the state police, and I've done a lot of interviews and or interrogations, and when somebody doesn't look at you in the eye when they're telling you something, that's a red flag. And when they do tell you something, if you want to know if they're lying, they're going to be looking to the left a lot of the time, and they won't look back at you, and they'll be looking down a lot. And if they're fidgety and moving around, that's another red flag that shows that you know, you might have a problem. And the problem is, when you're dating online and you're not sitting right next to that individual, you can't see that body language. You can't get it. And you don't even want to take the chance without doing some type of, like I said, due diligence on the individual that you're going to be meeting before you meet them, because you never know who they are. Like I said, people profess to be a lot of things that they're not, and people do embellish. And those are the type of horror stories that you get. And, you know, even with this mobile dating that you get, you know, it's not just dating now on the internet. You can take your cell phone and have a mobile app, and you can start chatting with people by texting. And I'm going to tell you something. As soon as you text any information, you can give away your location and your confidentiality, and you don't even know that you're doing it. And
that was where we have to pause, because we do have a commercial break coming up. But I have to absolutely tell all my female friends out there, do not in any way, shape, or form, it doesn't matter if it's Pinterest, if it's Ibotta, if it's whatever the application is, do not, I will repeat myself 5 times, do not allow the location app to hunt you down, because it will do it within a half a mile. And if you do truly have somebody out there who is willing to harm you, your pattern, because you're human, you're going to give away more than you think you gave away. They will find you. And those location services are just like your GPS. It's very accurate. Don't engage. Just don't do it. Creeps me out. Freaks me out. I've seen bad things happen. Don't engage. My opinion. You got anything, David, before we go to commercial break?
Go to the commercial, girl.
All right.
Are you a business owner searching for a better platform? We developed a website where you can push it for. Our site is AdVit, and we fully committed to ensure our members' traffic, which I'm sure you will get. You can market your product here with a bunch of deals ranging from home, good, electrics. Take a look, if you will. Join AdVit today, and your life will change. And the best part is free, and they'll always remain.
January 2015. In Pride and Prejudice, a relocation nightmare, is based on a mother's true story of her attempts to relocate home to her family after a messy divorce, only to be discriminated against and forced to live without her support. Order your copy today. www.rustymcdonald.com.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. With the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
Hey, David, I don't know if you're going to miss me, but you realize I'm going to be gone soon.
Well, you're still going to have a telephone, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm going to be in the beach on Boca Raton.
Well, you're still going to have a laptop, won't you?
Yes, I will. It's actually going to be quite an eventful week for me, so hopefully you can pull me down from heaven, because I'm going to be in heaven that week. It's my birthday. I'm going to be in Boca Raton. I'm going to be speaking in front of 2,000 people. I'm going to be selling my new books. I'm so
and you're
going to
be keeping in touch with
sandals.
Me so that I know how to get a hold of you.
I'm like a fingerprint that just doesn't go away. I'm a bad robber. I don't wear any gloves. So you'll be able to find me. I'm not worried.
Oh, don't worry, Rusty. I'll find you.
I know you will.
But I want to talk about
our books. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's my birthday month, and Valentine's Day is coming up this weekend, and we're talking about some pretty tough. It's a tough conversation. It's not just about dating sites. If you were to be in my world of social media, you know, I get crackpots even on Twitter. It's crazy the amount. It doesn't have to be a dating site. If you are in the public arena, you're going to get crackpots, period. So let's talk about something a little bit exciting for a moment that's very positive, and let's talk about your book. And we have a young lady in, I think, South Carolina who's looking for an autographed book from you. I don't know if you ever responded to her.
I never even knew about this, so I didn't get any information. But I'd be more than happy to send her a book if I would know where to send it and whom to send it to.
That's right. All right. So talk to us about uniforms, my dear.
Well, Uniforms is a it's my book. It's my first book that I've written, and it's a very good read. And what it's about is captures the mood of an era. It's the, you know, it goes from parochial school to the jungles of Vietnam, and it recounts my experience wearing uniforms. It's a memoir. It's both humorous and right to the point, that's for sure. I don't pull any punches with it. It's a true life story, and it's a story of discipline, respect, commitment, and survival. And it tells the story of a Vietnam War veteran, combat veteran, through the eyes through my eyes, when I was in Vietnam in 1969 and 1970. And it's something
very
that
cool.
I take a lot of pride in. I really do. I took a lot of pride in writing this book. It's something that everybody can relate to. And when I say anybody who grew up in the 50s and 60s can relate to this. Anybody who's been in the armed forces, anybody who's a veteran or who is still in the armed forces can relate to this book. And it talks about boot camp in the Marine Corps, what I went through boot camp, all the training that I went through as they prepared me to go to Vietnam. It talks about how I was in a drum and bugle corps for 10 years as I was growing up, and everything we did while we were in the drum corps. I mean, I didn't leave much out. It talks about how we grew up back in the 50s and what it was like then, which compares to nothing like it is now. And I strongly suggest that if anybody hasn't heard of Uniforms or hasn't read this, my book, that they pick up a copy. It can find it at Barnes & Noble. They can find it on Amazon, or they can get it from me if they want a signed copy. And if they want a signed copy, all they have to do is let me know by sending me an email at David, D-A-V-I-D, at Standa, STANDA.com. And they can request a copy of the book. And I'm sure that they would really enjoy reading my story because there's nothing out there like it. And it is entertaining, to say the least. And I strongly urge everybody to pick up a copy. And if you want to know what the book is about, you can go to the book's website, which is www.uniformsthebook.com, and it will give a good description of the book. You'll be able to see the book, and there's different tabs that you can hit, and it gives you excerpts from the book, and it also tells you about the author, which is me, and it tells you how you can order it.
Very cool, and I have to tell you, as a reader of your book, I found it really entertaining, and I'm so looking forward, and not entertaining in the sense of, like, you know, I found it very much, and you're going to probably run me over next time you see me, but Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams, like, it was provocative, it was painful, it was beautiful, and yet there were humorous moments where there was pieces of compassion, and I think your book illustrates a very similar tone. Where it's a combination of emotions, but you do it in a compassionate way and kind of a gentle way. I think you do it gently.
Thank you. I appreciate
huge,
that.
I think it's a huge read, and I'm looking forward to Uniforms 2. Talk about that for a second.
Well, Uniforms 2, which is already in progress, is going to be a sequel to Uniforms, obviously. And it's called Uniforms, the State Police Years, and it's going to be what I went through, my experiences while I was in the State Police. And I'm going to tell it just like it happened, just like it really is. I'm not going to embellish it, and it's going to be, again, a true life story of what happened and what while I was in the State Police and what I got involved in. Because there wasn't too much that I didn't get involved in. I mean, I investigated all kinds of crimes. I was very fortunate to have been promoted, and I was a detective for quite a number of years, and I have a lot of stories to tell, and they're going to be in that book. And there's going to be some of them that are very humorous, and there's going to be some of them that are very sad. But it's everything that I write about is real and actually happened. So that's what Uniform 2 is, the State Police Years, is going to be all about.
And then we're going to have Uniforms 3, which is how you found me in the back of an alley in a box somewhere. But that's a long story, and we'll have to do a different show on that.
Well, let's get back to this because we don't have a lot of time left. And
oh,
I do want to mention a couple of things.
Go ahead.
Because of this has been such a problem, there's several states that came out with laws requiring internet dating sites to disclose whether they conduct criminal background checks on the users and what they do with that, and offer advice on keeping the site safe. You know, dating services like eHarmony, Match.com, Spark Networks, J-Date, and Christian Mingle, they had to sign an agreement with the states to protect customers with online safety tools. And these include companies checking subscribers against the National Sex Offender Registry and providing a rapid abuse reporting system for their members. However, that doesn't always work. And like Match.com, which has over almost 2 million paid subscribers, has been screening all their subscribers against sexual predators. Anybody who's had a sexual offender, and is a sexual offender, and they're on the registry since 2011. And the reason why Match.com is doing that, because before 2011, a woman sued that site saying that she was assaulted by someone she met through it. So you can see the thing, you know, these different dating sites are trying to do things to protect their subscribers. But again, you know, if you got a problem with internet fraud or somebody trying to scam you that you're meeting on a dating site, you do have, you know, some recourses that you can take. It's called the Internet Crime Complaint Center. They're tied in with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the National White Collar Crime Center. And you can report any fraud or any complaint that you want. And it can be anonymous, by the way. And you can find that on the Internet. And you can make any complaint that you want. What I want to say, though, is that, you know, we have some tips for safe and healthy online dating. And like I said, chatting with a new Valentine over coffee is old school. That's out now. That's gone. First dating, you know, giggles and going to Applebee's, that's out. That doesn't happen anymore. These days, many of us are getting romantic through virtual winks and private messages, or simply pursuing a prospective match by age, sex, location, weight, height, self-summary, favorite movies, leisure activities, and anything that's in the profile. And oftentimes, there's a photograph related to that. Now, one thing that you probably want to do is, if you don't use Skype, I would suggest that you start using Skype if you're going to be on these sites. And the reason being is that you can actually see who you're talking to. And so you don't have to rely on that photograph, because it isn't uncommon for folks to snatch photos of models, celebrities, or just regular people who look good and use that photo for them as for themselves. And if you're suspicious, try to reverse image the search via Google to see if that photo is posted anywhere else. And so you can be your own detective if you want, you know, and you can save yourself a couple of bucks and you can save yourself some problems down the road, you know, just by using Skype, because you're verifying at least the picture. Match.com lists other signs to watch for, including aggressive grammar and spelling errors, the way they talk, asking for your address, or to send you flowers, to send you flowers or gifts. You don't want to have anybody ask you for your address. If you want to give somebody your address, that's your business. But when they start asking for it, that's a red flag. Don't let that happen. You know, protect your finances. Ignore any requests that you get from anybody. I don't care how long you've been talking to them, how long, you know, how much you know them, because you really don't know who these people are. And you don't know anybody until you live with them anyway. That's the first rule. And so, you know, if somebody's asking you for money, you know, get rid of them. You don't have anything to do with them. You don't need them in your life. So just save yourself a lot of time and headaches and just stop having communications, because you don't need to send anybody anything. Guard your personal and online access information. Don't ever give up anything. Don't give out your phone number unless you have to. Your email, even your email address, unless you really want to. You don't need to for, you know, to have conversations with these people on any of these dating sites. If you feel you want to bring it down or take it to the next level and give them your email address, well, then that's your business. But make sure, again, before you do that, you know who you're giving it to. Just remember one thing, okay? Match.com will never send you an email asking you for a username or password information. And anybody who claims to be from a dating site, you know, trying to get your information or your financial information, you make sure that you get a phone number and you call them. Don't let them call you and ask you for information. You know, be smart. Be safe. Make sure, again, you know who you're talking to. So, you know, just because somebody calls you up and says they're from a certain organization doesn't necessarily mean they are. Ask for a phone number, call them back, and when you call that number back, make sure that it's a real company that you're dealing with. And you're going to know just by the way they answer the phone. Be web-wise. And, you know, quickly ask chat on an outside email or a message service. That's, again, something you should be aware of. Anybody who claims to be from the U.S. but is currently traveling, living, or working abroad, that is another red flag that you should worry about. Again, I already said ask for money. Vanishes mysteriously from the site, then appears under a different name. Now, obviously, you got to use common sense. You know, talks about destiny or fate. You don't have to talk about destiny or fate. You're not there yet. You know, that's something you do when you're together, when you're a couple. Claims to be recently widowed. Well, you know, why would somebody want to claim to be recently widowed? You know, there's more than just claiming to be widowed, and or you know, you don't need to have that kind of conversation, you know, on a dating site. Ask for your address under the disguise of sending flowers or gifts. I already said that. Makes an inordinate amount of grammar and or spelling errors when they're texting you. Sends you emails containing strange links to third-party websites. Don't ever go on those. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission advice to avoid online romance scams is available 24/7 so that you can report any dating scams. So it says to be cautious and use common sense. If personal details provided by another person don't seem to add up, they behave suspiciously or pressure you for personal or financial information, block your communications with them, and don't have anything to do with them from that point on. Block and report any suspicious users. And you can do that, like I said, either by email, or you can actually call the U.S. Federal Trade Commission or the FBI and report this. Additionally, please report anyone who violates any terms of use of dating sites. And examples of these, again, they say this, and this is the FBI that is saying this now, asking you for money or donations, married people or minors using the service, members sending harassing or offensive emails, members behaving inappropriately after meeting in person, fraudulent registration of profiles, spam or solicitations such as invitations to call a 1-900 number or attempts to sell you products or services. By the way, these 1-900 numbers can cost you up to $25 to $250 a minute. So don't ever call a 900 number. You don't need it. You talk about horror stories. There are plenty of them. And I've seen people who have gotten stuck, you know, with a phone bill for several thousands of dollars because they called a 1-900 number. And another thing, you know, as far as safety tips, online safety tips, get to know the other person before meeting them offline. Use technology that protects your anonymity to get to know somebody before disclosing personal information or meeting in person. We don't conduct criminal background checks on our users, and this goes for Match.com. So we would like more information about someone. We recommend using the Internet and or a government resource available to everyone. I recommend that you use a professional private investigator, because I can tell you that I can get information a lot quicker than most federal agencies, because that's all I do. If you are going to meet somebody, always meet them in a public place. Never meet them in a private place. Stay in that public place, even if that person suggests that you go somewhere else or you go to somebody's apartment or their apartment. Don't do that. If you're going to drink when you're meeting somebody, please stay sober. You know, you're going to think better. You don't need to drink the night away. And the more you drink, well, you know what happens to yourself when you start drinking too much. Drive yourself to and from the first meeting. Don't ever let them pick you up anywhere. Keep personal items with you at all times. You don't want to risk having a person personal information stolen. If you're drinking, keep your drink with you at all times so they can't be tampered with. I can't tell you how many people, you know, say they got drugged from their drink. And that happens a lot, and it does too. Long-distance meetings, they pose special safety concerns to take into account, and keep these tips in mind. If you're going to travel somewhere like this girl was going to come from California here to New Hampshire, from one state to another, stay in a hotel. Check into your own room and avoid staying with the other person or the other person's home. The first thing, anyway, you shouldn't go. Use a taxi or rental car to and from the airport. Don't let anybody pick you up. Even if the person you're meeting volunteers to pick you up at the airport, don't do it. You don't need to be, you know, somebody's assailant or somebody's victim inside of an automobile. Keep your hotel location confidential. You don't need to tell that person where you're staying. Remember to keep your family and friends posted as to what you're doing and where you are at all times. You know, online daters, guard your heart. That's the big thing. Do not reveal personal information about yourself until you meet face-to-face. And even then, exercise caution. No full addresses. Suburb will do. No surnames when an initial will suffice. Google is your friend. It really is. You're not paranoid necessarily. Check them out online. It's for your own safety. It's easier than you think for someone to pull photos from other sites and use them as their own. So if you want to verify identity of anybody, ask them to do a Skype chat. But make sure that they have sent you a photo of themselves first. If they refuse or make excuses, be a sure sign they're not who they say they are. Never, ever, ever send someone you don't know money, no matter how much they beg and how sorry you feel for them. Just don't do it. And then watch
out
for the...
Well, David, I have to be the curmudgeon of the show, but we're down to about a minute and a half. And I would absolutely, I have a lot to say about this particular topic because I personally have experienced this, but I'm not going to. I told you to keep my mouth shut as best as I can. What are the top three things that you want people to take away from tonight as we wrap up tonight's show?
I'm going to give them one. I'm going to give them the last thing. One way to stay clear of these criminals altogether and to make sure that you know who you're dealing with is to stick to an online dating website with nationally known reputations. If they think you've been victimized by a dating scam or any other online scam, file a complaint with the Internet Crime Complaint Center. And that's what I was talking about, or with the FBI. There's no need for anybody to get hurt out here. You know, it's not that important if you really think about it. If you're already alone, make sure whoever you team up with is the real deal. Don't put yourself out there just to put yourself out there because you're lonely. Make sure you know what you're doing. Your safety comes first. And remember, if you have children, their safety is the most important thing you should worry about. So
amen.
With that, you know, just be careful out there. And if you have any questions or comments about this, please just either chat them into us or email them to us at david@standard.com. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anybody may have at any time. With that said, if you're out there driving around today and tomorrow, please be careful, and especially if you're in this area, and stay safe, everyone, and thank you for listening. And happy Valentine's Day.
That's right. Happy VD. Thank you for listening to Ask a PI, David Duchesneau, and I wish you the very best week, the very safest week, and the very most cognizant week, because you're going to be more cautious, more loving, more independent, and much more protected now that you listen to tonight's show. And we'll talk to you next Monday night, same place, same bat station, Remember to smile. It's the best contagion on the planet.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.